Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, former best friends, now they're bitter enemies.
He should have known. He should have seen it coming. He's known me for so many years. I've always done what I have to do to get ahead.
I had just had surgery, and I get this phone call that Kevin's about to debut. It was like getting kicked in the stomach. He took my debut. My sights are focused on payback, and payback on Kevin.
If this is personal, it's because he's making it personal, not me. I'm a victim.
Yeah, man. Speaking of payback, and we're back with another episode of As the Heel Turns.
We're almost all back.
Two-man show today. Dario Pop Passarelli, who you just heard, and myself, your host, Big Al, Alexander K. Lee. Hopefully we never go down that road, Pop.
No, we won't. We won't.
Someday
we
could both be working for
the WWE. Can't say the same about Connor, though.
No, but...
Damn's fighting words with Connor.
But the thing is, I never liked him. So it's, you know what I mean? They were like best friends. Sami Zayn and Owens are like best friends. I never really liked Connor, so...
Well, then maybe it is you and I.
We're more like Rock and Triple H or something like that. I don't know. Flair and Steamboat? I don't know.
I'll tell you this. When the money is there, I'm up for the challenge.
Oh, so, man, you are Owens then.
Yes.
You are definitely Owens.
I have to be.
I like to think of myself as the Sami Zayn of the podcast world. I'm the underdog.
You're the host. You're the hard worker. Yes, you are the SZ of the podcasting world.
Quite a bit to discuss in the WWE this week, so we'll jump right to it. Because I think there was a solid event on Sunday, WWE Payback. I was actually looking forward to talking about it after it was over, and in a mostly positive way. Great matches, some questionable booking decisions, which I think is how WWE does things these days.
Did you not find that surprising? Like, good, going wrong, this is positive, but I was like literally surprised that it was as good as it was.
Not really for me, man. I was looking forward to a lot of the matches on the card. I think the storylines could have been better, but you know, just looking at the talent involved, I'm like, man, there's all these matches are going to be good, and I think it turned out that way. I don't think there was a clunker in all of them, and there wasn't that many. There was only six matches, and that's including the opening match, which was unfortunately cut short. So I'm not going to rate it. It turned into a very frightening scene. We'll get to that later. Let's jump right to the main event first. How surreal, first of all, AJ Styles on a WWE pay-per-view / special event competing for the world title. I never thought this day would come. Very strange.
It was. It was something that, and for me, not that he couldn't, I think you agree, it's not that he doesn't have the talent to be a main eventing a W event. I think for me, it was just how quickly he got there, especially considering what they've done with newer talent coming in the past, for AJ Styles to just sort of overstep everybody and to get to the main event. I'm not sure yet whether it's warranted or not, but he's there and he handled himself quite well.
And think about how much the WWE in the past has avoided mentioning like where someone has been. Obviously, we live in the internet age now and the quote-unquote reality age, so there's no hiding that stuff. But yeah, a lot of his rapid push is the fact that they're acknowledging like, oh, he was a star on the independent scene. He was a star in Japan.
New Japan, yeah.
You know, other than New Japan, they didn't name any specific companies, but we all know who they're talking about. And it's to their benefit that they're doing it. Again, you know, they're not even exactly giving free promotion to these other companies. They're just, you know, they're just mentioning them. And in the past, I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, if you had told me 2 years ago he would ever be competing for a world title in the WWE, I would have just said you're crazy. I'm like, they'll never use him in that way. Even in his prime, I would have said they would have brought him over. He'll be a great mid-card champion. I may have some IC title runs, something like that. But that was before Daniel Bryan. That was before CM Punk. Other people I'm sure I'm forgetting who have had success making this jump now. A lot of stars out, you know, a lot of their stars that they wanted to establish out with injuries or for various reasons. So, yeah, you know, he's taking advantage of an opportunity, and I think he did a heck of a job on Sunday.
He did, and I think the WWE's, again, realizing, like you said, that, you know, even if they mention that these wrestlers have a history, it doesn't hurt the WWE. In fact, it helps them. Right, there's nothing wrong with saying where they're from or where they wrestled, because it gives the wrestler some credibility. And if you're talking about WWE being the pinnacle, which we all know it is, and all the fans in the universe know that it is, then it's something to say, hey, they have to have started somewhere. They don't all just get, you know, born in NXT.
Yeah, and that might be the way, you know, Vince McMahon might have wanted it like 20 years ago, but now it's a different way. It's cool now to say this is where the best of the best of the best come, you know. That's what the WWE is. And look at that, they're doing it with the Global Cruiserweight Challenge. There's all kinds of ways that they're really making themselves say, like, we are wrestling in general. You know, we're still World Wrestling Entertainment, but also we're trying to take in everyone now and say, like, everything falls under our umbrella, which might sound kind of scary at first, but frankly, there's no stopping it. They are the number one name in wrestling. They always will be. And I think it's great that they're reaching out to other promotions and I feel like elevating them. You know, some people might say taking their talent. I think elevating the sport in general. That's my opinion. But
well, like I said, I think it in the end helps WWE itself, right? If all these other promotions are what's the word I'm using for, not promoting wrestlers, but building them, giving them a place to hone their craft and hone their skills, then they are the support staff that keeps the WWE afloat. And the stronger you make your supports, the bigger the WWE can get.
Yeah. So going to the match specifically, AJ, I thought, did a great job. And again, this is, you know, the fans' perspective. I really felt like he was very much leading the match. I was surprised the story of the match, because really it felt like he dominated 80% of the match. Like, he really took it to Roman. Roman got a couple of moves in there, but pretty much it was AJ just beating him around for the majority. Also, I thought the booking made Roman look so weak, and I don't know why, you know, with the two restarts.
Well, I kind of felt that was a bit of a great, I don't know, freshness to the overall storyline. What I thought was interesting was how it started. With AJ Styles kind of running outside the ring and then having to run back in and Roman Reigns chasing him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a heel move.
Very much so, yeah.
And yet, here's your face, mind you, technically, I don't know, face. Here's your face that's doing it. And I went, where are they going with this? What are they trying to? And then when you see at the end how McMahon's come out one at a time and have to, you know, restart the match, I thought it was great. Because in either case, Roman Reigns would have won and walked. Well, not would have won, but would have walked away, kept a belt. And, you know, Reigns never complained about doing it. So I'm curious as to see what they're developing here and how come the storylines are kind of intertwined in the sense that we really don't know which character they're developing or how they're developing these characters.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, definitely. It definitely should make people curious. For me, it really hurt the match. I thought it was a good match. I just thought it was crazy overbooking. It reminded me of the Attitude Era, which I guess some people liked.
Just a few people, right?
Oh, I'm sure a few. Again, that's the kind of stuff that happened in the Attitude Era and even that era, WCW at the time. Lots of crazy booking and authority figures jumping in, restarting matches. Two tag teams interfering, you know, a lot of brawling. And I know people like that. You know, chaos can be good sometimes. But I thought they were having a good match overall. Some of the visuals, we talk about this a lot on the show. Man, him flying from the top rope to the outside and hitting the elbow and going through the table looked amazing.
To me, that's a very simple move, and yet he makes it look so stunning.
His pose, yeah.
Midair, right? You get your cameras ready.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so that looked great, and then led to the first countdown, the first false finish, things like that. Again, it could have been worse. I don't think the booking was, like, killed the match, but for me, it got in the way. I would have just rather had somehow either been no DQ at the beginning or had the tag teams. I would have liked to still have had the tag team interference. I thought that part was good. That could have happened, like, after a ref bump or something. Haven't had a good ref bump in a while. But storyline-wise, everything made sense, at least. I'll say it made sense. I didn't necessarily love it, but it wasn't illogical. You know, it made sense with what happened earlier in the night.
Well, like I said, I think it added to it, and I'm not sure yet where they're taking these characters, which got followed up on Monday night. And I'm now curious to see how this storyline develops, which I wasn't so much beforehand. And the one thing that I think that this storyline needs for it to be effective, I honestly don't know if AJ can pull it off. But I think I read a comment by Mick Foley, and I agree with him 100%. If AJ can come across as being angry, like really angry, then this might just take it to the next level, which I think it can go to.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I hope he can pull that off. Because, again, AJ, not the best promo guy, not the best actor, certainly not the best wrestling actor. But I've seen him able to display, again, like you said, just the good basic stuff that you need in wrestling. Like you said, anger, passion, sell. He can sell. You know, he's capable of certain emotions. Yeah, as long as they don't try and put him in any ridiculous situations or you know, scripted promos where he has to do things that just seem out of character, that could work. Anger might be the thing, yeah, that pushes the story along. But either way, I think the AJ Reigns feud is going very well so far.
It is, yeah. And I have no problems with it being the main event in the next one.
Yeah, very good match. And yeah, I really want to see a rematch, which obviously it's Extreme Rules, so there'll probably be immediately no DQ, no count out. We'll have some, you know, similar interference stuff, but they'll tell a different story.
And not just to be angry for angry's sake, but you're in a situation right now where if it jumped to Raw, you know, he saved Roman Reigns from getting hit by a chair, and he goes through all this trouble where the Usos come in and then hit him,
yeah,
and he's defending himself, yeah, and then Roman Reigns just sees that, and, you know, to be upset, like, hey, I went out of my way to stop you, and then you come up and you attack me from behind. Like, what is that? That kind of anger, and I think that can, like I said, propel that storyline to the next level.
Yeah, and I think playing Shades of Grey with the Reigns character right now is probably the way to go.
They've got no choice.
They've got no choice. So it was a good match, but the match of the night was probably what became the de facto opener almost, again, after the Enzo Amore injury, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Amazing match.
There was so much about that match apart from the match itself, which is really, really bad radio speak right now. But I'm going to continue on with it anyways. It was a situation where, I mean, you can't talk about the match without first going into what happened to Maury. He got thrown into the ropes. He bounced his head off the middle rope and then the canvas and then possibly the ground. Thankfully, at the end of it, it was only a concussion. Mm-hmm. If I say only, it looked so much worse. We didn't know in terms of what had happened there. And to have the New Day out on the ground, happened right in front of their faces, like literally 10 feet away, and have everybody else just in shock in terms of what's happened here. You don't know if your friend is going to be hurt all right, and all of a sudden it's your turn to go on and perform, and all that's in the back of your mind. So, you know, kudos to Kevin Owens, kudos to Sami Zayn for not only putting on a great match, but at the last second maybe having to stretch it longer because of what happened, the shortness of the match earlier. I mean, there was so much going into it, and they did it phenomenally well.
We keep bringing the injury up, so actually let's talk about it now, and then we'll get back to the KO Zayn match. First of all, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I thought the announce team did a really good job handling the whole situation, providing updates throughout the night. I thought without it becoming a distraction
yes.
I'll absolutely give them credit for that.
Because, again, and it's such a sad thing to say, you never know if it's a work or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this case, it certainly didn't look like one, but you weren't sure. So very happy, like you said, they did a fantastic job in terms of covering that.
If I was the production team, and again, this probably wasn't their call, whoever's giving them the orders, I would have probably not shown the injury so many times. It was tough to watch.
It was.
And after the first couple times, like, okay, we get it. He's legitimately hurt. And you could really see his eyes had rolled to the back of his head, and he was definitely knocked out. He was knocked flat out. And the way he hit the mat, you know, just not moving. Like, it wasn't selling anything. You know, he was on the apron outside the ring, and you're just like, yeah, he's out.
Oh, the one thing that scared me a little bit was what are the vaudevillains, I don't think, caught on right
away.
No,
and went out to get him.
It went out and to get him, mm-hmm, and the referee was standing right there, and I don't know why he didn't, like, stop him.
Yeah, I think, it was a confusing situation. Definitely the referee should have known. Maybe he also didn't know how severe it was yet, but thankfully it didn't go too far. But yeah. Someone had mentioned that, I think it was Gotch, that had gone out to continue the match, and they were like, oh, I hope he doesn't get in trouble for that. And some people were also blaming Gotch for throwing him too close to the ropes or something. And Bubba Ray, you know, he went on Twitter and said, look, people don't know what they're talking about. It's a freak accident. These things happen. There was nobody to blame. And I think that's the attitude people should have. Like, you know, we do a podcast about wrestling, and we criticize matches, and yeah, we talk about things we think we saw, but it's true. Unless you're in the ring, unless you're a wrestler, and specifically Gotch and Enzo and the guys involved, you really don't know exactly what happened, and it probably was just a freak accident. So definitely blaming someone does nothing.
And just taking a step back for a second, any Raw or any pay-per-view, the most important match of the night should be the main event. Fair enough statement?
Yeah.
What's the second most important match?
The opener.
Kudos again to WWE. If your opening match is two tag teams, two NXT tag teams coming on board, and then your second match is Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Two NXT champions, former NXT champions. Yeah.
It was just like, hey, wait a second. You know, they're talking about this being the first pay-per-view of a new era. They're not just spewing words there. They actually are saying it.
Well, look at the whole card. The two tag teams from NXT were the opening match. KO, Zayn, both guys from NXT. Ambrose is an NXT guy. Charlotte is an NXT performer, obviously. And then AJ Styles, not an NXT guy, but he was wrestling in Japan friggin' 4 months ago. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy how quickly the roster kind of got overhauled because of the injuries and also just because new people coming in and taking advantage. Yeah, very, very strange.
So very long intro into the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match.
Yeah, great match, obviously. The physicality and the emotion's always going to be there. I think the right man... Wait, how did it end again? My brain just...
Owens
KO
won.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My brain kind of went just
Owens,
off.
Owens won, rightfully
so. And I think
so.
Rightfully so, yeah.
That's just... And again, the little things that he does. I think they mentioned, you know, like, why do you have to be so mean? Like, why'd you throw him out? And he goes, I won the match. He should respect me by rolling out of the ring. I was just helping him.
Oh, yeah, and Byron, get in here. Like, after Byron interviewed me, and then he was telling Byron, he was whispering really loudly so the mic would pick it up, like, ask me how I feel about that win or something. And then Byron asked, like, a slightly different question. And whether that was on purpose or not, obviously Owens just rolled with it. He's like, that's not what I told you to ask me. He's such a natural.
And again, you know, give him credit. We do it all the time. He stays around for commentary. Oh, yeah, thank you for inviting me to commentate on the next match, which was the Miz versus Cesaro. Mm-hmm. And then he keeps telling Byron, you know, you interrupted me in that ring over there. You kept coming in and interrupting me.
Yeah, so rude. You didn't let me celebrate. No, he was great. The only problem is he made the commentary team look so bad because he's so good. And he's better than all three of them. Now I'm going to find me to play a little Debbie Downer on the match. I still feel like a lot of these Kevin Owens pay-per-view style matches just have too many finishers. The guy has too many moves that should be finishers. And they should either be countered or he got to take them out of his arsenal. The frog splash, people should not be kicking out of it.
No.
I'm sorry.
The bullfrog splash.
The bullfrog splash. It looks so good. He's so good.
Especially
at it.
Like on the floor out of the arena. Like,
right?
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
It's too much for me. It's, you know.
And he nails it.
Yeah, it's scary. For me, there's just, you know, you build to a crescendo and you have a few false finishes and then, you know, it's like anything. It's like a good song, you know. But once you keep hitting that same part so many times, it's like it diminishes. For me, it doesn't get more exciting. Every false finish after every kick out of a powerbomb or a superplex or whatever, it's less and less. And that's not good. You should be building up to that finish. So that's just my minor critique. I know people love to see all the awesome, like they got so many good moves. And by the way, I was laughing when... I think Sami Zayn did like a Falcon Arrow or something, you know, kind of the suplex and the body slam thing.
Right.
And then Cole's like, oh, Blue Thunder Bomb, Blue Thunder Bomb. And I'm like, okay, Cole, I don't think that's a Blue Thunder Bomb. And then like the next move that Zayn hit was the actual Blue Thunder Bomb. And then he's like, oh, there's a traditional Blue Thunder Bomb. And I'm like, well, he kind of covered it up at least. At least he knew.
Cole misread the script. You know?
He's done that so many times. He calls moves wrong so many times. Like. But, you know, Cole, again, bless him, he's not a great play-by-play guy. I think we all know that.
And sometimes I think it's done on purpose so that you have somebody like Kevin Owens or The Miz is really good who would just correct him.
And make fun of him.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but obviously a great match. You know, I'm always going to bristle at the two excessive finishers, but it's a different kind of story. It's not a wrong story, you know, it's... Like, you know, we talk about Lucha Underground being a different style, and they certainly do a lot of that in their matches, and I enjoy that program quite a bit. So, still the match of the night, I felt. Very strong match. But,
I do, yeah.
But definitely not to take away from any of the other matches. Like, I think, so let's go, you know, we said Miz Cesaro was next. I thought they had a good, solid match. It told the story it needed to. Cesaro getting all his stuff in, really kicking butt. People, please learn to count revolutions and not... You know, when he's doing the giant
swing. Just counting time. Yeah, one, two, three, four.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And it would be so much cooler if they counted the revolutions instead. Like, it would be a little more, like, of a moment. But they're just so eager to, you know, chant anything. Yeah, but Cesaro got all the stuff and looked as strong as heck. You know, didn't lose anything by he got distracted by the stuff that was going on with Zayn running back in and Owens and then got rolled up. Miz keeps his heat. I mean, that's what a heel champion does, right?
Fantastically, yeah. Again. And like I said, unfortunately, Cesaro is wrong. you know, blaming Kevin Owens. It wasn't Kevin Owens' fault.
He was quietly
just doing commentary,
minding his own business.
It was Sami Zayn that came in afterwards, yeah. And it was Sami Zayn's fault in terms of what had happened there.
And really,
that's who I blame.
He's Cesaro's old NXT rival, so he should have no like fond feeling for Sami Zayn. But I think that's obviously what we're gonna see for the next few months. And we've gotten a lot of taste of it already, as these guys, you know, Cesaro, KO, Cesaro, Zayn, Zayn, AJ Styles, AJ Styles, Cesaro. Like, I think we're going to see these guys mix it up for a while until...
And like you said, it's you know, two separate storylines that are getting intertwined, yep. And I think that's fantastic.
It's really good.
And does Cesaro not look so cool coming out in that suit?
He's finally...
All that's so good.
Really got a gimmick. Like it's really strong, and it doesn't require him to talk too much. The less he talks, the cooler it is. Really,
exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I'm very excited about all four, and even the Miz, because I think Miz never gets enough credit. I think the four of them, I look forward to see what happens there. And Kevin Owens is going to get the belt
at some point, of course. Yeah. Jericho and Ambrose had a match. I think the first match of this feud. I want to say I don't think they've had much in-ring like physicality other than, you know, smacking each other during their interview shows. So they had their first match, and I thought it was good.
I didn't like it. And I think that has a lot more to do with, for whatever reason lately, Jericho just doesn't interest me as much. I for him, it's, I used to love Chris Jericho. Loved his mic work. Loved the way he wrestled. And now I think, and this may be sad to say, I've seen so much of it that it just seems so repetitive,
mm-hmm.
to the point that it doesn't get me excited anymore. I don't know what it is.
I can agree with that for sure. And also, the stakes of his feuds always seem so low because we don't know if he's staying around. So if he loses, it doesn't feel like the guy who beat him necessarily gained so much, even though we know Jericho is a so-and-so many times IC champion and a former Undisputed World Champion.
The first...
He always feels like a part-timer, even though he's been around this run for quite a while. Like, this run, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's been.
But it just feels like he's a part-timer still. You know, it doesn't feel like he's a permanent part of the roster. And so when he wins a feud, it doesn't feel like it's necessarily going to go anywhere. When he loses, we don't know how much it benefits the guy who beat him. So, yeah, all you're getting is, like, you know, good entertaining segments on Raw and good matches. But stakes are important, too, I think, right?
To me, it's Chris Jericho is on the roster to help get new faces over. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is relatively the same thing that Miz is on the roster for. But I just think Miz has a much fresher approach to it. And it works for me as a fan a lot more than what Chris Jericho used to do for me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, etc.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, we talk a lot about the choppiness of some of Jericho's matches lately, and I usually defend it. This match had a bad choppiness. Ambrose already, you know, has kind of a chaotic, like, unpredictable looking style. So then you match that up with Jericho's, you know, some of his recent work, which looks very on the fly. And again, which is good. That's a skill of his, you know. But it definitely took them a long time to mesh. Like, the first five solid minutes of the match, it just didn't always seem like they were on the same page. And you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, it was, I think, a little bit of a fast forward button there.
Sure. Like, again, and like I said, I like choppiness. I like when things look like they're sloppy. But for me, it was a little bit too much of that in this match. And yeah, I still think it was a good match. But like you said, not super memorable. Not something we're going to be talking about at the end of the year or anything like that.
We won't even be talking about it next week.
Now, Charlotte and Natalya have had a bunch of good matches. I thought this was one of them. I thought this totally kept that going. It was maybe on par with their Roadblock match. Maybe not quite as good as that. The ending was horrible.
Oh, thank you.
If we never evoke that stupid Montreal, I know people are going to say, oh, we're Canadians, we're still sensitive over that incident. Yeah, maybe we are still a little sensitive over that incident. But it's also been 19 years since that happened. Like, do people care anymore? Can we move on?
That whole incident, the screwjob in Montreal, was the one incident that made me lose more respect for Bret Hart than Vince McMahon.
Oh, okay.
And not at the time. But as things progressed, like, the longer it ate Bret Hart, and I feel so sorry for the man, the more it turned him sour,
mm-hmm.
the more I began to, get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of bitterness there, sure.
There's a lot of bitterness. And not saying that it's not deserved. He's right to be bitter. But it just became him.
Mm-hmm.
And it took away from his, you know, our marathon match with Shawn Michaels. It took away from that wonderful match he had with Stone Cold. It just took away from everything. And I don't want to see it come back up. Now, I heard, read somewhere that Bret didn't want to be there at Payback. And if this is the reason why, thank you, Bret, because now I'm beginning to turn back.
But here's my question then. Do you think him doing this is him showing like, oh, I'm okay with it now. And I'm not like, I can just do it. We can bring it up and I can be involved in a segment like this and I don't care anymore. Like, do you think, and I'm not saying I believe that. This is just devil's advocate here. Do you think that's possible?
No, I think he did it and for one reason only. And that's Natty. That's the only reason. If Natty wants me in her corner, if that's part of the storyline that's going on, I'm going to be in Natty's corner. And I still think he still has that in terms of family value. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think he needs a financial reason to be there, but I think that was the main reason why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was going to go.
They also had a nice moment after where they both put the sharpshooters on Charlotte and Rick. And I think he thought that made her look good too, which probably did. It was a good moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. But seriously, wrestling bookers everywhere, not just WWE. Because I remember WCW was trying to do it sometime. And if any of you indie bookers are out there thinking of doing any sort of screw job endings to your matches, people just stop.
Well, no, it can, but not like that.
Not like that.
Or not referencing it.
I will say, I did like that Charles Robinson was involved. I did like that Little Nate was the
little
referee.
Little Nate, yeah. Because
if you know about the Little Nate stuff, it's like, it almost didn't need, because I know they had to explain it on Raw. But if you know about the Little Nate stuff, yeah, it was very much like, oh, he got his referee.
Those.
Yeah. So I thought that was a bit funny. That was cute. But otherwise, I was literally disgusted. I went like, ugh.
You know what's going to disgust me even more? Is, well, two things. Well, number one, if they continue on and whatever, what happened on Raw, when they brought it up and he said no, if that's it. If there's like no punishment for Charles Raw, you know, quote unquote, punishment for Charles Robinson, if they don't follow up with it and they just sweep it under the rug and move on, I think that was like a complete waste. Like, this has to be a bigger story. There has to be something else there. Otherwise, why end it that match in that fashion?
So you want Charles Robinson to sort of be a little crooked ref for maybe another month? Just,
or,
like,
I don't know about crooked.
Crony?
He should get his comeuppance at some point.
Oh, okay. He has,
right?
To get, I agree.
And or something more has to be defined, because how they handled it on Raw made no sense.
How did they handle it on Raw?
They didn't.
Okay.
Charlotte and Rick brought Charles out and basically said that, you know, did you do it as favoritism because, you know, you're friends of the Flairs? And he went, no. And then he go, well, did you cheat on purpose or that blah, blah, blah,
this
blah, blah,
like
blah.
A thrilling segment.
And he went, yes. I mean, no, no, no.
Really?
Yeah. And then, like, that was it. Like,
oh,
it was,
gosh.
You know, and so I'm going, there better be more to it than this. There just has to be. And at the end of the day, or at the end of Payback, it took away from what was a decent match.
Yeah, and it really was. And the weird thing, though, is, so I guess they're going to have another match at Extreme. Like, we were joking about it before the show, we were sort of recording. Is Extreme Rules just going to be the Payback?
Payback's Payback. I don't know. And wasn't there at a time, I'm not going to say this again because we're always getting into the same conversation, so I'm going to try and phrase this differently.
Let's see.
Are there not other women in this new era of women's division?
Well, there were two women, one of whom got her first win on Raw and apparently like in forever, Emma and Becky, and who were also supposed to be on Payback, but was cut for whatever reason. They've got like a mini side feud going somehow.
But we haven't seen Sasha in 2 weeks.
No, and there's rumors of an injury, which she's denied. She's told people she's fine. They're just, I guess she's still doing house shows, so she's out. Or maybe she's not. Maybe that's why people think she's injured. And then there's the other rumor that people are saying they're saving a feud to build up for SummerSlam. So once Charlotte's done with Natty, then it's Sasha time.
Right, but this thing is like, there's been 2 weeks, and I know what they're trying. Maybe put Sasha against Emma. Like, you know, there's Paige. Whatever happened to Paige?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to the Bellas?
No clue.
I mean, no one's hurt, but the other one.
They have time. I know what you're saying. They have time for more than one women's feud. Like, if they want to show that this is that they're really, the women's wrestling division is turning around, you got to treat it like the men's division and have more than one feud. It can't just be this side attraction that's just one thing going on at a time.
For 8 days, which includes 2 Raws and 1 Payback, we saw the same 4 women 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't see Becky and Emma on Payback, but back to back, Ross and no other women. And again, that's, you know, learn from NXT. NXT, you're on 1 week and then pretty much somebody else is on the next, right? And at least it keeps it fresh and
and
you keep the people in their mind. But I really don't like how they're booking the women here.
And again, we keep saying they have 3 hours a week. It sounds insane that they can't find time to book some other segment. Even if it, I don't know. Let's leave a word. You're right.
Yeah.
Let's just say, I don't have any suggestions, but they have ways. But at least Emma and Becky showed up on Raw. Now, let's transition to Raw talk, but by mentioning a Raw segment that was essentially on the pay-per-view, the deciding of what to do with the Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon authority situation. Now, I didn't like them putting it on the show. Now, I understand it was part of the attraction. They were selling it as saying, hey, you want to see what happens? Check out Payback. So in that sense, it did serve a purpose. But the resolution was as pretty much as weak as you could get. You're both in charge. And like, oh, great. We needed a 20-minute segment to do this?
Yeah, I know. It was the segment was way too long to begin with. But I didn't mind the decision.
It's okay, yeah.
In the sense that there are... I like the idea that there's so many possibilities that can happen, right? So hopefully they look upon it and it goes on from there. I'm still curious to find out what happened to Triple H.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to Triple H. He's going to be wrestling Shane McMahon in Extreme Rules.
Payback,
that's my
payback?
Theory. That okay. Payback at the Payback, too. The Paybackening.
See? And if that's the case, again, that'll upset me greatly. Because it's a short distance pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only like 3 weeks and we already lost one of them.
Yeah, he'd have to come back like next week and challenge him. And
otherwise, you know, like...
beat him down all in one night.
I can... You know what? It might make more sense for like a SummerSlam kind of thing. I think they can drag it out for... what's after Payback 2?
The Paybackening? Don't know.
Okay. But yeah, they might be able to string it along. Hopefully they don't rush into it because again that's another storyline that they could develop.
Yeah.
Right. And they
and
can,
it seems inevitable that we're going to get a nice Triple H beating down Shane. You know, kind of what we got at a little taste of Mania. You know, with the Hell in a Cell match and then him and Triple H having a street fight or something.
Who knows?
For control, for 100% control of Raw. I'm just so tired of authority figures. I know they're never going to go away. I won't harp on it too long, but I'm so tired of it. I just know that you can have a wrestling program without authority figures. I'm sure you can. That's all I got to say about that. So I didn't mind. You know, obviously I didn't watch Raw. And from what I'm reading, it didn't sound like they were too intrusive anyway. I know they, I guess they opened. They opened the show?
They opened the show.
That was to be expected.
And again, it was... interrupted by Kevin Owens and sort of went into that, which was really good.
He is on his way. There is no way he doesn't win the world title. I would even say by the end of this year.
A lot of people are kind of agreeing. And
I don't think you have to. It doesn't have to be a long run, but you got to give him a taste and establish that he is a main eventer. He's got his hands in everything.
he does. And the interesting take is that Stephanie is playing nice. She gave Shane a present. Which was she redid the gift that his father smashed of, you know, his father
picture,
carrying him as a baby boy. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that, you know, they having the similar ideas. You can still tell they don't like each other very much. And you don't trust Stephanie. And Dean Ambrose didn't trust Stephanie, which led to Dean Ambrose having her on the Ambrose Asylum show. And... Sorry, I'm getting emotional.
The introduction and quick departure of...
Well...
Do you want to talk about... Is it too soon to talk about
it's
him?
Mitch is gone.
I feel so bad because I was only reading about it and I was like, who is this? But then now... So I didn't feel the pain with you and the other wrestling fans, but I understand. From what I hear, he was a heck of a guy.
It was a heck of a plant.
It was a heck of a plant.
And, you know, he got potted... right on Ambrose's head by Jericho. And
I'm really sorry, Pop.
It was so sad.
I'm really sorry.
You know, Stephanie did cancel the Asylum and brought back Jericho's highlight reel.
Pop, I need you to compose yourself.
Okay,
we're going to move into a segment here. We're going to move into some hard questions.
Thankfully, it wasn't that kind of play.
We're going to move into some hard questions.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, and this is maybe as much a question, more of a statement by me. Are you getting a little, do you feel there's a little bit of New Day overload, their act? Do you think their act is getting a little, I don't want to say stale, but off-putting, less entertaining?
I think they're you know, pushing the boundaries a bit. The whole Beyonce was yeah. But I liked it as well because they turned it around and they made fun of X. So I was okay with it.
I just feel like their promo, I just don't enjoy promos that are like random. Here, we're going to say something and we're going to throw in a random pop culture reference, which may or may not have anything to do with this feud or what we're about to say next, but we're just going to mention it because people know it. That's not good reference humor to me. Like, I like when people make references in humor, but you ever watch those movies like Epic Movie or like Meet the Spartans or those guys where all they do is
Top Secret. Yeah, it's sure. all.
And they just make a reference. And it's like, oh, what's the joke? Oh, well, we just referenced it. Like, it's funny. You know what we're talking about. We just made a joke about Star Wars. You know Star Wars, right? It's like, yeah, okay. I know Star Wars. What are you saying about it? Look, Star Wars. Okay, and then what? So I fear that their promos are becoming like that. It's like, hey, Beyonce released a new album. Beyonce. Okay, good. And then what about her? We just mentioned Beyonce. Isn't that funny? And I'm like, I guess. Yeah? Is it funny?
Like I said, it was... The funny thing to me is that they really haven't wrestled. They haven't defended the belts.
Well, I actually think it's cool because I feel like I want them to have some mystique.
I'd like on Raw, they did have a good 4-on-4 match. New Day and Cass against the Vaudevillains and the Dudley Boys, which I thought was really cool. Not so much the technical in terms of the match, but just the fact that after the Enzo injury that they would be able to do that.
Let's go to my next question then. Big Cass, what's the potential here? He's got the size the company looks for. He's got some charisma. I mean, yes, he's the quote-unquote Billy Gunn portion of the, you know, sort of new age outlaws. But he can, you know, there's a silent charisma there, and also he's got SAWFT. He's already got a catchphrase. What's the potential there? Do you think is he a future main eventer?
Don't know, don't care. And the reason why I say that is because they don't even have a tag team name, do they? Amore and Cass?
No, they're the realest guys in the room.
Realest guys in the room. I think there's quite a bit of potential there. I think you don't even think about him on his own until 2017, 2018. You know, you have enough, you're not lacking for talent in the singles category. The two of them make a fantastic team. Crowd absolutely loves them. It's still relatively new to Raw. Run with it as long as you can. Then at some point, do the usual, pit them against each other and go from there.
Well, here's the thing is, Enzo's future, I think, is obviously as a manager. Like, I think he's an Xavier Woods type. And he's a good wrestler. But I think his future is, and so is Xavier Woods. But I think both of them, their future is really just to be managers. So why not sooner rather than later? I know people won't be happy about this. There's a lot of fans in their tag matches. And they're a very classical tag team where one guy takes the beating and then the other guy comes in and does all the big moves and gets all the, you know, gets all the pops. So, which I like. And so you're right. In that sense, it's good. But eventually, maybe sooner rather than later, shouldn't he just become Cass's manager? You know, not that I'm saying Cass is like a 5-star wrestler right now, but the guy's a mouthpiece already. I mean, you know, he's maybe that's the way the act should go at some point.
At some point, yeah, but he can be a manager in his 40s and 50s and 60s, right? He still has that quip. Again, use what you got right now. And I think there's so many other things that can be easily fixed on Raw that need to be fixed that concentrate on those. This isn't one of them, you know? Let the tag team division build up. Let them run its course. It's not like they're lacking in individual star power. They have enough there that they haven't used effectively. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Big E. I mean, I put him, you know, Rusev. I put these people up to go, you know, singles for a higher belt ahead of someone like us.
You had me at Big E.
I know. That's why I threw it in there.
So, not making any bold predictions for Big Cass. Okay, fair enough. My next question for you, sir. We talked about Emma winning her first match on Raw since whenever. Another man who picked up his first match on Raw, his first one on Raw, it might be ever, though I know he beat Dolph Ziggler, but that might have been on SmackDown. Mr. Tyler Breeze, defeated Goldust due to some shenanigans involving R-Truth and I don't know, R-Truth and someone.
Fandango.
Oh, thank you. Another wasted talent. So my question is this. Where is this Golden Truth stuff going? This has just been going on way too long. Yeah, maybe some people found some of those segments entertaining. I never did, but I know some people did. Vince McMahon obviously thinks they're hilarious. Where is this going? To what end is this epic story going?
That silence there was me just realizing that's where that other woman's match should have been.
Yeah, it would have been nice, right?
Yeah, because Goldust is funny at times. R-Truth is funny at times. If they finally get this partnership together, I still think it's not going to go anywhere. The only way it works for me is if the Golden Truth, I think that's it.
That they want to be called, I guess, or we're calling them.
Maybe. If Little Jimmy comes back, only then will I be interested.
Little Jimmy, first of all, never gone. But I know what you mean. He seems to have been marginalized. It seems like he's forgotten in this whatever it is, this pursuit of gold dust of R-Truth.
Is it like, can they seriously be thinking that in this manner, this is WWE management, let's have something on there that's so bad that it'll make the other things look good?
I don't think they know it's bad, though. I honestly, and this is, I know it's unfair, Vince McMahon, whenever something kind of silly goes on for too long, people just blame Vince and say, oh, it's just something Vince finds funny. That's why they're doing it. But this does seem like something that Vince McMahon would find funny, and that's why they're doing it.
Well, like, I mean, I remember back in the day, and again, we're going to go back to the Attitude Era, when you had things like Kurt Angle teaming up with Edge and Christian and the kazoo coming out and doing those little silly things there. But back then, you knew that between the three of them, they were still going to do something.
Yeah, and they were stars. They were stars who were doing funny stuff together and elevating each other.
Whereas this here looks like they're not even mid-carders anymore. I apologize, but they're not. And you know that they're not going to amount to, and they're not going to get that great of a push. Just like, and I think maybe that's where I lost a bit with Chris Jericho. You know he's not going anywhere.
Well, Pop, what are they supposed to do? It's not like they can just have Goldust feud with Stardust. Nobody wants to see that. That wouldn't make any sense, right?
No.
No, you're never going to do that. So, anyway. by the way, hashtag sarcasm. My last question for you, sir. They had a very, very lazy number one contenders match for the U.S. title. They just said, what are we doing with Kalisto? Let's have a battle royal, whatever.
They really need to get the belt off of him.
You know what? That's just like the women's division, though. It's like they can't have another sort of sub like group of guys who are competing for the U.S. title or competing. I mean, they're kind of doing it with the IC title, and the IC title is friggin' awesome. But now there's just like, oh, we don't have any of their U.S. tier guys. Let's throw them all in the ring and see what happens. Now, obviously, we're happy for our boy Rusev.
Yes.
Unofficial friend of the show, Rusev, and Lana being back together. Awesome. Everything's coming up Millhouse for Rusev right now.
Fantastic. Finally, maybe that ban or whatever, that punishment, we'll leave it as such, is over with.
Seems like it, right? My question is, do you think he will take the title from Kalisto because the Kalisto thing hasn't been as hot as they'd hoped? Or is he just another monster for Kalisto to conquer in his new age Rey Mysterio, you know, journey he's on?
Well, if he's just another monster for Kalisto to go on, then I think they can do something better for a pre-show match, don't you? Because if this was like seriously, like why? If you're not even going to be good enough to be part of the main card, then why go through it again?
Twice, eh? Twice. Mania, he was a pre-show, and Payback is the pre-show.
So, you know, you may want to change that formula up a bit.
Did you see the spot in the Ryback Kalisto? Did you see the highlights at least from that match?
No, I did not see the pre-show.
They were showing the highlights during Payback, and they did a great spot. Maybe they did this in their first match, because I didn't see the Mania pre-show match either, where Ryback does a press, like a gorilla press slam from the second rope. Like, he lifts up Kalisto, and then Ryback jumps in the air and then throws Kalisto while he's up in the air. It looked awesome. I'm like, oh, man, you guys have been doing some good stuff.
I haven't been that interested in Ryback for a while.
Well, it's funny you mention it, because we both mentioned it.
Why do you have a smirk on your face?
Well, you know, I structure these shows very carefully.
You
Gary,
scare
as
me.
People know.
You mentioned something that Ryback was involved
yeah,
with, but
you know,
I have no idea.
He's got a little bit of the internet buzz going. So what happened with Mr. Ryback, as I like to call him, as the cultured Ryback fans call him, is he did not show up to Raw, or he had asked to be taken off TV, or something else. Either way, he was taken off TV by WWE. His contract is coming up, expiring soon. So there's some discussion, obviously, he wants more money. And also some discussion that he's not happy with how his character is being utilized. So Vince McMahon told him, well, you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. You can get in a plane and get the heck out of here, which apparently he did. And then the next day he posted to his Tumblr, which apparently a lot of WWE stars use Tumblr still. I don't know if you ever used Tumblr before, Pop.
No, I have no idea what that is.
It's just like a blog type thing. And I didn't know professional like celebrities still used it. It's like a lot of, usually people use it to make fan pages of celebrities. Like it's like a whole page of like Ryback pictures and stuff like that. So he posted on it. I won't read the whole thing, obviously. I'll send you the link later. You can read it. But I'll mention some things. So he talks about, first he says it's not about money, which is then contradicted by the rest of the post. So he brings some interesting points. Primarily he's talking about how, why do the guys who are not featured as winners, you know, the guys who have to do the jobs and stuff like that, why are they paid so much less than the winners when it's two guys that do a match? So he says, this is a direct quote, "It blows my mind how in a sport which is predetermined from a company standpoint, winners are paid so much more than losers." And then later goes on to say, "Why is it a guy who is told he is going to go out and lose does everything he is told be paid not only less, but much less than said winner over a period of time? Every single performer for WWE sacrifices the same amount of time from home and their families, and every single man or woman goes out and does what they are told. Looking at this formula, though, losers turn into what fans like to call jobbers, and their value decreases in the company's eyes, and before you know it, they get released. For what? For doing exactly as they are told." So obviously he's saying the pay should be more equal and the attention given to certain performers should be more equal. That's not how the wrestling business has worked since the turn of the century. Pop, what do you think about his comments?
I think there's some validity in the sense that it does take two to tango. And when we talk about a great match, we normally don't talk about the winner or loser of the match. We talk about both participants being equally involved in it. We talked on this show already about the special qualities that, let's say, a Miz has and Chris Jericho has in terms of bringing the best out of someone else, out of another wrestler. Now, I find it surprised that wrestlers like that get paid much less than the people that actually win. I still have some disbelief in that. I think just like in any other sport, you probably get paid not for what you're doing, but for what you did. John Cena gets paid because of the history of work that he has developed. Chris Jericho gets paid because of the history of work developed. Kevin Owens gets paid because of what he's done. At the end of the day, I don't think Ryback's getting what he feels he deserves because he's not getting over. And I think that has more to do with it rather than winning or losing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd have to say you go back towards the last couple of years of WCW, Flair is probably still one of your highest paid wrestlers. And there is a stretch there for well over a year where they never made him win a single match. And he jobbed for everybody. But again, he was getting paid because of what he'd done up to that point.
You and I even had a discussion recently about, you know, Seth Rollins, when he was the champ, actually lost quite a bit, which I thought was horrible. But at the same time, it's like he never really lost his heat. Like maybe it affected his character somewhat, but definitely he was over no matter what, you know, based on his actions and the actions of his opponent. You know, I think obviously he was getting compensated very well during his time as world champion, regardless of whether, again, he lost certain main event matches. So, yeah. I think I agree with you. I also want to, you know, I do sympathize with where Ryback's coming from, for sure. But
because he's put in a situation where he has to lose to a Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to make Kalisto look good. And in situations like that, the only way to make a Kalisto look good is by you looking bad.
I think it's funny. I think it's what he's saying is like, so I guess he's getting paid less than what he was getting paid, obviously, when he was actually on the pay-per-views as opposed to pre-show. And you know, when he was sort of being pushed as an upper mid-carder, world title contender, he's probably making less money now. So I guess what he's saying is, like, just because they put my position down, like, you know, they, as opposed to maybe anything he's done, why am I worth less? when I'm just following orders, which is somewhat understandable. So I'll quote him again. He says, so this is the last time I'll quote him, but he says, personally, seeing my money go down over the years, though, even though I was working as much as ever and being denied magazine covers and other projects, as well as watching my role diminish, no matter what I did or how hard I try, takes its toll on a human. Being told no matter how hard I work or how good I get doesn't always pay off is something I effing refuse to believe in my life. I am a creative being, and to be restricted time and time again is no way to live life. So, and then he ends on like a positive note, saying, "Whatever, I'm going to move on and show that I'm the best guy," and blah blah blah. So, ends on a positive note, not like a super bitter post. It's, you know, another comparison to make, Daria, would be a TV show. On a TV show, yeah, maybe everyone is an equal part of putting a show together, but the lead actors get paid the most money.
Right. Charles, who's the most famous TV show now? Two and a Half Men?
I thought you were about to say Charles in Charge.
I was about to.
I'm like, Dario, you're so old.
But no, because I meant to say Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, yes.
But Two and a Half Men, I mean, he got paid a gazillion.
Yes.
Amount of money.
Ridiculous amount. And he's the star.
And
him and John Cryer, they're the stars.
But John Cryer didn't get paid as much.
No, probably not.
And the boy didn't get paid as much.
No.
I'm sure they worked just as hard, if not harder, yeah, than Charlie Sheen did. But that's what it is. You know, I look back and you're wearing a Daniel Bryan t-shirt.
I am.
And I'm sure that he was pigeonholed just as much as Ryback was. That you're only this and you're only that. And yet, look what he did with the amount of time that he had. He lost a lot of matches, but he still connected with the crowd in some way. And it was the WWE universe that brought him up to a main event status. I don't think they would have booked him that way unless he got that kind of reaction.
Yeah, he forced their hand. And while I totally think Ryback has improved quite a bit since he started with the company, and I do think he's manufactured some good hooks for himself, or at least made the most of hooks that he's been given, that to feed me more and things like that. Yeah, it did always seem like there's a ceiling on how much he was going to get over. Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, they've turned him heel and face at times maybe they shouldn't have. But like we said, Daniel Bryan, you've got to make the most out of every opportunity. And it just seems that might be out of Ryback's capabilities. So I hope for his sake, if he does decide not to come back to the company or gets cut prematurely and becomes a free man like this week, that he does go somewhere else and, you know, maybe become like a Luke Gallows type. You know, Luke Gallows got cut and he went to Japan, yep, and suddenly came back as a hot commodity. And he's essentially the same guy. I mean, look, he looks the same. I think his wrestling style maybe is slightly different, but he's kind of the same.
Oh, no, I have to agree with you. You look at a situation where, you know, the type of character that Ryback plays, the big muscle-bound guy, only has a certain amount of lifespan. Goldberg only had a certain life, and there was nobody at that role better than Goldberg,
yeah,
in terms of how it was built up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point he's got to lose, and then that whole character gets squashed. So, you know, you look at, you know, we've been mentioning Chris Jericho a lot. He has found so many different ways of reinventing himself over the years. What has Ryback done to reinvent himself? I don't know if he's been allowed to or not. Maybe that's where the issue is.
He changed his tights.
Oh, my God, I hope so.
He looks more like Goldberg now.
But he needs to find a way to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
The Usos need to find a way,
yeah,
to reinvent themselves.
No kidding.
but that's just the way it goes, right? And I'm sure at some point Kevin Owens is going to need a way to reinvent himself. Because in this millennial type of era, you know, things live and die in seconds, not in years.
Yeah, and I think that puts a good capper on that. Now, we've got a little bit of time left, Dario, so let's indulge in a little fantasy booking here.
Ooh, fan. Oh,
not that
still
kind.
Talking wrestling?
Okay. Not like the kind of fantasy booking involving like Lana or something. No, let's talk about some in-ring fantasy booking. I'm saying Finn Balor obviously lost the title to Samoa Joe in NXT.
Yes.
They're going to have a rematch in the next TakeOver show, but as we've seen, you can be on, you know, when they're transitioning one of those big names over from NXT to the WWE, they very often appear on NXT for a couple more weeks before being permanently off. You know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks. So next week, the week after that, within the next 2 weeks, Extreme Rules, do we see Finn Balor debut? Do we see him Is he the secret mastermind behind Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows? Do we see him temporarily team up with AJ and then turn on him? Do we see AJ turn and bring Finn Balor in? What do you want? What do you expect?
Are you assuming, or has it been any word that he's going to be involved in that particular angle?
No,
or
could be brought up completely. Could be brought up to feud with Apollo Crews.
Why would he be brought in to AJ Styles? Is there a connection there that I don't know?
So Balor was actually, before AJ Styles came along, Balor was the original Bullet Club founder. So he brought in Anderson and Gallows, who were like his best friends, who like some of his best friends. And then it was actually Styles who later came on and joined Balor's Bullet Club. So there's a history there from New Japan. So so a lot of people are saying it's just logical that he would either try and take the team back now that they're back here, or that they would just sort of reform it and do like the Balor Club, make it the Balor Club here, which I think would take away a little bit from AJ's momentum. But like I said, there's a bunch of ways they can go with it. Again, or you can always bring him up in an unrelated way.
Okay, see, I didn't read that.
Yeah.
Now, having said that,
yeah,
I would certainly love the idea, and I don't know if Balor, because he was more of a face throughout his NXT tenure, to come in as a heel. But that would, I think, be phenomenal to see him come in, especially since AJ doesn't, you know, like to play the way that Gallows and Anderson play, and have Balor come in and, you know, once this feud with Roman Reigns is over, is just come in and say, you know, you didn't want their help, how stupid can you be?
Yeah.
And just have the three of them beat him down.
Yeah. The old, what happened to you? Like, you know, you were one of us, and like,
you could have been number one. Yeah.
We conquered Japan together. We could have conquered the WWE together. But yeah, it's again, it's one of those things. It makes so much sense that it's more likely he's going to break up the Golden Truth feud probably instead. He's going to, but I think, you know, now that we've said it, it's our fault. Now that we've said it out loud.
Yeah.
Now we've ruined it.
Oh God. What can you do? But so, it'd be good to see him on the main roster. Again, you just hope that he doesn't fall out of place like a Tyler Breeze did.
Yeah, that was rough. But at least Breeze got a win. Who knows where we'll go from here. But again, it seemed like just to serve the purpose of that storyline.
No, he's still involved in that storyline.
You're right. He just got if anything, he was better off just losing instead of winning. And he got the booby prize, as they used to say back in our day.
You know what I'm waiting for in that feud? I'm waiting to see Goldust, R-Truth, Fandango, and Tyler Breeze get the bejeebus kicked out of them by the Social Outcasts.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be. We are the only four-man group here.
Right? Heath Slater, your moment in the sun is still coming, my friend.
Yes, yes.
Before we sign off, I'm just going to shout out Smash Wrestling as usual. They don't have an event until May 29th. Hopefully we'll record before then. I think we will.
Yes.
But never too early to get people hyped for it. I'm sure there's tickets still available. I think tickets went on sale last week. Maybe.
Phenomenal lineup already.
Boy, I'll run down just some of the names. Courtney Rush, Psycho Mike Rollins, Kevin Bennett, Facade, Frankie the Mobster, Sushi, who I'm not familiar with, but he's a masked wrestler, should be a lot of fun. Mike Bailey, Tyson Dukes, and Candice LeRae, Tarek, and of course, a couple of NXT stars fighting for the Smash Wrestling Championship. Recently debuted Eric Young and, of course, Johnny Wrestling,
Favorite
Johnny Gargano.
Johnny, yep.
Recently married.
You know, it could be the first time that Candice LeRae is in a position where she could be the first back-to-back winner of the Gold Cup and get another shot at the match against Johnny Gargano or Eric Young, depending on who wins. So, yeah, no, again, another fantastic lineup. Can't wait for that.
I wish I could go, unfortunately. I have work responsibilities, but darn it, if anyone's out there and wants to go with Pop.
Yes, yes, I'm still looking for a partner.
But otherwise, you know, anyone who's listening, please definitely always support any independent company that's in your area. You know, we just happen to be near Smash Wrestling a lot, and I haven't been in a while, but I do plan to go again sometime, and I'm always happy to promote them. But otherwise, support indie wrestling, and right now support WWE wrestling. I think programming's been pretty good.
It's been pretty good!
I'm not saying watch Raw, don't do anything crazy, but, you know.
No, you can.
No, Raw's been good, I just don't have time for it, I haven't watched it, but, you know, watch what you can. Definitely check out the special events. Special events have been delivering for a while, frankly, and,
It is a lot tougher to watch Monday Night Raw when our basketball team's in the second round of the playoffs.
Yo, go Raptors, there you go, more important than anything, go Raptors, and congratulations to the Leafs getting the number one pick.
Yes, the city is so surrounded by losing that we get happy because we win the draft pick.
From losing so much.
Yes.
But otherwise, everyone, watch wrestling responsibly and take care of yourselves.
promise strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be